the reality of the furloughs that occurred, the possibility that others furloughs may occur in the future, the threat of pension cuts, the highly visible underfunding of pension, current pension obligations, the flat state funding at best, and the reality that the state is not giving us the money that we're owed. You know, it doesn't make a compelling case to, hey, come work here.
There's another issue too, and that is healthcare funding. Because the legislature is somewhat limited, at least presently, in what it can do about pensions, it looks toward what it can do something about now, and that's healthcare costs. And I think they're anticipated to rise significantly. And state employees that are not in unions, non-union employees, are taking 12 furlough days this year. So I congratulate us on being able to hold the line on furloughs for our employees, because it is, it does contribute to the feeling of the staff and the faculty.
Okay, well, thank you, Ed.
Another short
presentation. Tim.
Just kind of a philosophical statement, nothing in terms of brass tacks, but this is probably not the most painful issue we deal with as a board, but it rates up there for me. And I appreciate Ed's committee. They're very thoughtful people. They know the numbers a lot better than I. I have full faith that, you know, they arrived at the conclusion they thought's best for the university. Obviously, this whole problem of, and everybody needs to know, this whole problem of increased tuition is driven by withdrawal of support by the state. Okay, I'm probably not the best board member to state this because I have kids at the university, so it's going to sound like I'm real biased. But I feel it's important to state the viewpoint of students and their families, who are essentially our consumers. I fully appreciate the issue of faculty compensation. If we don't tend to that, you run the risk of diminishing the value of a University of Illinois diploma, a University of Illinois education. But I think we have to keep in mind that every time we raise tuition, we may be pricing certain potential students out of the ability to attend our universities, our university, our three campuses. And as we were established as a land-grant university, you know, our real purpose of existence is to try to bring higher education, make it available to as many possible citizens of our state that we can. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't vote in favor of this, but, you know, I hope we all take this very seriously, and I certainly applaud your comments about looking further into cost cutting. And I think another possible philosophy we need to consider going forward is possibly contraction of academic programs. You know, that's, I think that also has to be in the discussion. So I just wanted to state that point of view. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Tim. I think all of us try to be conscious of the people that we're here to serve, which is, you know, beyond simply the university and its best interests, but the best interest of the state. And, you know, we don't want the elite institution just to be for elite families.
If I could.
Having said that, I think your role as a parent, you know, gives you profound insight into the economic decisions that we make, and I think all of us appreciate your insight and thoughtfulness in presenting that.
I feel exactly the same way, and I think the university in some ways is doing what the state won't do by reallocating and setting aside a larger and larger portion of tuition dollars into a financial aid pool, and the large number, half of the students, getting something less than the sticker price. That is our way of dealing with the access issue in part, but at the same time this spring, as I think the board knows, the University of Illinois Foundation is launching a major, major fundraising initiative that's going to be focused entirely on raising scholarship money, mostly need-based, but also some merit need-based scholarship money, mostly for undergraduates, though not entirely. It'll take us even a step further, I think, in fulfilling our access obligation to make sure that the University of Illinois is accessible to qualified students who may not otherwise have all the resources required. And I think we just have to keep doing that kind of thing until we have some kind of a turnaround or in the state economy or the national economy or some change of heart on the part of state legislators who are willing to invest in the university.
I might just add a comment. I live in a part of Illinois that's more rural than many of the rest of you, so I interface a lot with parents, grandparents, people who have a strong belief in the University of Illinois. It amazes me in a rural area that there's that strong of a strength. And I get two comments back, Tim. One from those like you who have kids here or are going to have kids here who are concerned about tuition. But at the same time, their comment to me is, yeah, I'm worried about that cost, but I'm more worried about, are you going to sustain the quality of the institution? And those are not just the alumni of the University of Illinois, but there are other people who have benefited from what this university has done for the state, for the nation, for the world. And they keep challenging me of saying, don't make your legacy creating a lesser institution along the way. And I take that very personally.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's another one of our main charges, is to try to optimize the quality of the institution. So as so many things in life, you got things pulling from both directions.
Yep.
Finding the happy medium is not always easy to do.
And using an agricultural agronomy term is sometimes you have to prune the plant for the plant to perform better. And that's kind of your challenge back to us, is where can we prune and have a stronger plant, a stronger institution in the process. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is, how do we do that? I'll stop.
I appreciate it. Are there any other comments? We'll move into the next section. We have the hospital committee, Tim, so you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. My pleasure. This shouldn't be too long.
That's what they all say.
Like President Hogan, I only have 25 slides. The hospital committee met yesterday at 1 in the afternoon. Very productive meeting. It was our first meeting in 4 months. In addition to my presence, Trustee Kahn was present, and we welcomed two new trustees to our committee, Trustee Oliver and Trustee Estrada. We thank them both very much for their willingness to serve with us, and I'm sure they'll bring a great deal of wisdom to the committee. I'll try to briefly summarize the contents of our discussion. The first order of business, as usual, was a financial review. You got a brief indication from Walt in his presentation. Financially, the hospital, essentially, I would say we're on budget. We're 7 months into it. We were presented data that included 7 months of fiscal 2011, in other words, through January of this year. Slightly in the black on operating income versus expenditures, but a lot of expenditures soon to come out for construction. Which brings us to the next topic. The work is right on track for IDPH repair project, estimated to be about $4 million. That's going well, no surprises. For Patricia and Rick, we had an incident in December of 2009 with a steam plant failure at the hospital, which temporarily closed down operating rooms, which is basically when you have a high-risk OB practice like we do, you get